Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, wait a second.
Gotta wait. Please wait.
What is kind of one of the main actors in the inflammatory response? And if you have a cold and a runny nose and stuffy nose and all of those types of things, those are all byproducts of the inflammatory response.
Assalamu alaikum. Okay, alhamdulillah, brother. Okay, good, alhamdulillah. I'm going to put myself on mute, and may Allah bless you with a good talk.
Yes, sir, thank you for your help and your support.
Okay, bro.
That's fine.
Brothers and sisters, I want to you peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum. You'll have a cough, apologize, and please excuse me. We're going to go ahead and start our Juma. We thank Allah for guiding us to another Juma here in Los Angeles, California. I'm your imam for the day, your speaker for the day, Muhammad Khatib. And we have other Muslims joining us today on the line, Northern California, the east side of Los Angeles. And we are appreciative of all of the support that we get from the Blog Talk Radio, Brother Amin Yasir Muhammad, who's the director of the program that brings you our Juma every week. And we appreciate him and his support so much. Please excuse me if I have a cough or whatever, and we're trying to shake the various bugs that are out there. You know, area for the CDC or the area here, the people that are in charge of the health advise people to put their mask back on because the virus is strong again. I want to tell you that up front so I won't forget. And then, you know, this is also the flu season, the cold season. And then there's a disease out that's affecting, a virus out that's affecting the youth, children. So we want to make sure and be safe, brothers and sisters. Be safe. Allah wants us to come to Juma every week. And if we can't make it to the Juma, we want to pass a number around to make sure that people can get on the radio, on the phone lines, and listen to our Juma live, inshallah. And inshallah means if it be the will of Allah. So, again, we're going to go ahead and start the Juma on this Friday. This is... The date for us is December 9th, Friday, December 9th. And in the Islamic calendar, this is the month of Jumada, first month of Jumada, because there's a Jumada 1 and a Jumada 2. And the day is the 15th, I do believe, 15th, Jumada 15. And the year is 1444. We're going to call the Adhan. And which is, Adhan literally means the ears, to get people's attention so they can hear. And we call the Adhan very loud so that as far as our voices will reach, and now we got electronics, as far as our voice will reach, we want people's attention that the Juma is starting. So gather yourselves together and get to the Juma place. And most people are already there. Today out here, our Juma is starting at 1 o'clock this time of the year. You know, they will, but they like saving time and different things back and forth. So we're going to call the Adhan, which is the call to the place of prayer.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله الحمد لله السلام عليكم الحمد لله أحمده وأستعينه وأستهديه وأستغفره وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. And in the translation, brothers and sisters, we're saying, praise be to Allah. We seek his aid, his guidance, his forgiveness. We bear witness that there is nothing and no one worthy of worship except Allah, the one and only. And we bear witness that Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him, to whom the Holy Quran was revealed, is his servant and his messenger. Now, that is one of the forms of what is called Qutbah al-Hajja. And Prophet Muhammad, the prayer and the peace be upon him, would open up the Khutbah al-Hajja for the beginning of the Jumu'ah prayer. And you heard me call the adhan to get the people to gather. There are two adhans. The first one calls the people to let them know that Jumu'ah is going to start. So start getting to the place of meeting. And then once everybody gathers in the place of meeting, we call the second adhan. And that is the tradition of Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him. And all of the Muslims know about this. We practice it. He is our guide. Prophet Muhammad is our guide, peace be upon him. And he is our model for how to live the Islamic way of life, how to practice the Islamic rituals, how to live the Islamic culture. One of the forms of the Hajj, I just called this, is another form of the Hajj, and this one, not only do I like it better, but it's a little bit more accurate because it includes some things that I may have left out on the first one, but I'm going to say this one again. And the Hajj is, in the Hajj we say it in Arabic and we say it in English. And it says, Inna alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. So again, the Khutbah al-Hajja that all of the Muslims always start the Jumu'ah prayer with. And the Jumu'ah is our Friday meeting where all the Muslims come together in congregation, in group prayer. And we'll talk a little bit about that because today we're going to talk about identity. Translation of this Hajja is, praise be to Allah. We seek his help, his forgiveness. We seek refuge with Allah from the evil of our own soul and from our bad deeds. Whomsoever Allah guides will never be led astray. And whomsoever Allah leads astray, no one can guide. I bear witness that there is no God except Allah, no God but Allah. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his servant and his messenger. So, brothers and sisters, this is a form of identification right here, of giving you an idea of what Muslims believe and how Muslims are to believe. And some key ingredients, like the fact that Allah is almighty and we are seeking his forgiveness and we're seeking his help, and that the Prophet, peace be upon him, is the servant and messenger of Allah, and that there's no help for us, brothers and sisters, if Allah is not helping us. He sent us a guide to show us how to live an excellent, excellent life. And that's Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him. And he sent Muhammad with the revelation that got written down and turned into the form of a book. And so we have, you heard me say that this is the year 1444. We have had the Holy Quran in our hands for over 1,000 years. And this book gives us a guidance. It gives us identity on what Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth, wants us to do. Muhammad modeled that life. The book was, as I mentioned, revelation. It wasn't in a book form at first. But Muhammad lived that. He received that revelation. He received that information. He received that knowledge, and he lived it. And all of his followers and family members copied the guidance that he received, as all Muslims are told to do. And so we're living the life of Muhammad in our lives. We're living his life in our lives. All of the things that we are supposed to do as his followers, that's what we strive to do. So Muhammad is a messenger of Allah, and we have to bear witness that there is no God except Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. And we have to understand that if we don't follow the guidance, or we're not receiving the guidance of Allah, or studying the guidance of Allah, or living the guidance of Allah, then we don't have any guidance. But if we're living the guidance of Allah, then we have guidance. And this Khutbah al-Hajjah tells us that if Allah does not guide us, we will go astray. Any who does not follow Allah's guidance, or if he leaves you astray, you're in trouble. You're in big trouble. So, and another aspect of it is that we seek refuge with Allah and forgiveness from Allah. We seek refuge with Allah against our own bad deeds that we follow that Satan suggests for us to do. Satan, the evil one, the devil, wants to make it easy for us to forget that Allah has told us the truth and has given us the correct way of how to live. And when we don't follow that, or if we don't hear it, some people haven't been taught. If we don't hear it, then they're living a life that is in a darkness, a life that is astray from what Almighty God wants us to live. We know that, as I mentioned, that if we don't have the guidance, or if Allah leads us astray, no one can guide us. No one can guide us. There is no guidance for us if we don't have guidance. And the Quran is a book of guidance. We're talking about identity today. The Quran is a book of guidance that tells us to get into a form, get into a model, and to follow the guidance, or follow that form, stay in that form, and follow the guidance that we have received as Muslims. To stay in that, to live in that, day and night, to live in it. We have been given the instructions for how to do everything that we do. Allah says there is nothing left out of the Quran. This is a book, la rayba fi, it has no doubt in it, has no things in it, no flaws in it, no things in it that are left out. It has, the Quran has everything. There's nothing, in other words, that is left out of the Quran that is important for us to know. And Allah says, لَا يَعْتُونَكَ بِمَثَلٍ إِلَّا جِئْنَاكَ بِالْحَقِّ وَأَحْسَنَ تَفْسِيرًا, that there is no question or concern. There is nothing that exists that is important enough for Allah to mention or to give us guidance in. There's nothing left out of it except that it is all true. There's no question that comes up except that Allah gives us the truth of it, and the best explanation of it, the best way to carry out that truth that we receive. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. I'm very excited today, and I'm thankful that my health is improving. I wasn't feeling good at all last week. I was so dizzy. And I still have some of that left. So sometimes we have to get a medical checkup and get our blood checked to see if we have high blood pressure. Sometimes we're eating the wrong foods. And that'll make you sick. It could be flu coming on. That'll get you cold. The virus, the coronavirus or COVID-19 virus. We have to check those things out, and we have to be careful and keep a watch on ourselves. If you are familiar with your normal feeling, your normal way of feeling since you were a child, if you're familiar with your health, or your body, your health ways or your health status, then try to stay there. Try to stay in that. Don't eat foods with a lot of salt in it. Don't eat foods with a lot of sugar in it. Take vitamins. Eat proper foods and take vitamins so you can get your nutrients so that your body can do what it's supposed to do. Do you realize there are vitamins and nutrients that if you don't take them properly or get the right foods, then your muscles won't work right, your bones won't work right, your bones won't. Marrow won't help produce healthy blood cells. Your breathing won't be proper. You'll be weak in your body. I mean, it goes on and on and on. So as Muslims, we should understand that we have an obligation. We have a duty to take care of ourselves and watch where we go, what we eat, who we're around. And now the doctors are telling you, because of the viruses, the health organizations are telling you to wear your mask again. So get that mask and don't be vain. It's really vanity. Don't be arrogant saying, I know what I'm doing. No, you are not a doctor. You are not a scientist. Even the prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him, he said, when I am sick, I go see him. As Muslims, we are obligated to follow what the prophet, peace be upon him, gave us or brought us or showed us as true guidance of how to live like a sensible, intelligent, God-fearing human being. And so as Muslims, we can't say, I don't have to do this, I don't want to do this. There was a great saying, there is a great saying that we have as Muslims, where the followers of the prophet, they would come in from some place and they would not tie up their animals. And the prophet said, you should try to tie your animals up. And some of them said something to the effect of, I believe in Allah, and Allah is going to take care of my animal. I don't have to worry about it. The prophet, peace be upon him, told them, he said, faith in Allah, always believe in Allah. He said, but tie your camel. So he was giving them not only the reality of divine faith or keeping faith in your creator, in our creator, but he was also teaching them something about the nature of what's going on around you. If you see the clouds all bunch up, turning all black, then, I mean, the usual and the normal, the natural assumption is, I think it's going to rain. Now, one day the unbelievers will say that, and it won't be rain. It'll be the punishment coming for them. But we as Muslims and the whole world, everybody around the world, when they see the clouds bunching up, if they hear thunder and lightning, they're saying, oh, it's going to rain. And they may hear it way off coming towards their area. But so we should take, and they would take precautions. We should take precautions. If you're on a busy highway and your car stops, and there's a lot of cars out there, they're busy, it's busy, and the cars are zooming past you, there's information on don't get out and try to run across the freeway to get help or, you know, take the jack out and I'll take care of this. If you have a phone, and almost everybody has a phone these days, the authorities, the highway authorities say, stay in your car. Stay in your car. That's good advice. If one of those drivers don't see you, don't see your car, or they're so busy they're making mistakes out there, and they hit your car, that's one thing. But if you're outside of the car and they're traveling 40, 50, 60, it doesn't take much speed to kill you, you know, or to injure you severely. Stay in your car. Your body cannot take what your car can, so stay in your car. And if, in the case of the virus, they tell you to mask up, put on your mask, because there are more people per square area with the virus in your neighborhood or in your family or whatever, take precautions and try to get the equipment that you need to catch the virus particles. You know that's all it is. You don't be like silly people who say, if I can't see it with my physical eyes, it must not exist. That is ridiculous. All day long, you're breathing air and you can't see it. All day long, all night long, you're breathing air and you can't see it. But if somebody were to stop that air from getting to your airways or getting to your lungs, right away, you're going to be experiencing some kind of disturbance. Right away, you're going to make sure and get away from that. Get away from that person. Get away from that. Because you want your breath, your breathing to be normal and healthy for you. Well, the air is full of particles when the virus is here. And you get so many particles, depending on your health condition, your age and all that. You get so many particles in your lungs per volume, per amount of volume, and that'll make you sick. So what the mask is doing is trying to keep down the number of particles. I don't know what the number is, but I've heard it before, the doctors tell you. And it varies, like I say, depending on your age and your health condition, your endurance and all that. You get so many particles in your body, and if it's enough to affect your body, you're in trouble. You could be in trouble. And the particles cause problems, and the problems multiply right within your body. Maybe your body produces more mucus as a result. You know, you've heard some of the symptoms. You look it up. Look up the symptoms of the virus. It's the coughing. It's the, you know, the sickness, the dizziness. It's the body aches. And it seems like you might have the flu when you really have coronavirus. Or you could not have coronavirus and you may have the flu. Or you may be just catching a seasonal cold. So check yourself out, brother. We're talking about identity today. And one of the things we want people to know about Muslims is the importance of identity as a follower of the Creator. A Muslim is one who believes in Allah. That's his first identity, is that he's a believer in the Creator of the heavens and earth. We have a name for that. It's called Iman. Iman Allah, faith in Allah. Faith in Allah. Now, that's identity. What are some of the signs of faith? You think good. You're respectable. You're honorable. You use a certain language. It's all language, but, you know, symbolic language or whatever. But you don't talk confusing language. You don't talk lies. You don't talk full language, hateful speech. You're not arrogant. You tend to be mild. You tend to be clean in your language, in your word. And Prophet Muhammad, the prayers of peace be upon him, said, don't curse people. Don't use curse language, cursing, because he said it's not sensible. It's not intelligent for one who recites the Quran or believes in the Quran to use that same mouth for cursing people and acting crazy. That's what he's talking about. So the Muslim's language is good. And all of this happens with your thinking, in your brain, in your mind, in your heart, in your feelings, in your ways to Allah. So we'll have we will be creating a intelligent and a gentleness in our bodies, a calmness, a comfort, a comfortableness, a comfort inside of our own souls. And then Allah definitely is always doing his part. The Quran says there's never a time when he's not busily working in some important thing. Allah will send angels to help you in your willingness to be obedient to Allah and to be a Muslim. Muslim means one who is calm, one who is submissive, one who is obedient, one who submits to the will of the Creator. What the Creator wants us to do, that's what we want to do. So we submit our wills, we submit ourselves to the Creator, Allah, and what he wants for us. Not what we want to do all the time, but what the Creator wants us to do all the time. There's a verse in the Quran that says that he is always present. He is never absent. These are verses in the Quran, I'm telling you, that he is never absent at any time or place. So Allah sees us. One of his attributes is al-Raqib. Al-Raqib, he is watching us. Al-Zahar, I believe, is another one. I believe I pronounced it correctly, that he is irresistible, watching over his worshipers. It says in the Quran that he is al-Qahiru Fawqa. Al-Qahiru Fawqa. Hu al-Qahiru Fawqa Ibadihi. That he is the one who is irresistible, and he is ever-present, and he is supreme. That's what al-Qahiru means. He's supreme, and he's watching you. He is the one who watches you all the time over foul call over you, our foul call ibadihi, over his servants, over his slaves, over his creation, because everything in the creation belongs to Allah and worships and renders worship to him or gives worship to him. So we got to remember Allah and what we're doing. Remember Allah's presence, and he sees us, and he knows us. Al-Alim, he knows everything, brothers and sisters. Al-Khabir, he is the one who knows all the hidden things, the inner things, the mysterious things. He is Al-Khabir, and he knows all of what we're doing. He sees us. Al-Basir, he sees everything that you do. As-Sami, he hears everything. So all of these names of Allah, these identities of Allah, is letting us know that he is with us, that he sees us. And what else? That he is Al-Hakam, the judge. He's judging us. Allah is the one who has the right to judge us. We don't go to imams or preachers or priests. We don't go to them and confess our sins. Because Allah is the only one who can forgive your sins. And Allah is the only one who sees your sins, and he knows in what context you are dealing with your life. So it may be a sin that you should not be punished severely for, but you may punish yourself bad for it. Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, he said, a Muslim is one whose good deeds please him, and his bad deeds grieve him. Good deeds please him. He's happy with his good deeds. Are you happy with your good deeds? Do you take your deeds into account? Are you trying to do good deeds? Are you trying to worship Allah sincerely? Are you submitting yourself to Allah? Are you really behaving like a Muslim? Are you practicing our religion, which the name of the religion itself, Islam or Al-Islam, the submission, means that you are one who's trying to submit yourself to Allah. The religion tells you to surrender yourself to Allah. That's what it means, Al-Islam. Surrender yourself to Allah. The submission is what it means. The surrender. That's what Al-Islam means. Our religion is called that. And the people are called Muslim. The people are called Muslim means one who practices Al-Islam, one who surrenders his will to the will of the Creator. Then you're safe. So we want to practice, and we want to keep an eye on ourselves and practice our good deeds. And when we do something wrong, anything we know that doesn't agree with what Allah has said in the Holy Quran, anything that we know that doesn't agree with the example and the character of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and what are we told about his character? Say that he is uswatun hasanatun. That he has the best character. In character, he is the best. Uswatun hasanatun. In character, he is the best. And so we want to be like him. We want to be that way too. Your life will be less problematic, innocent of the guilt of doing the bad things, saying the bad things, thinking the bad things that people, you hear them all day long all around you. Lying, cursing, clowning, deceiving, just doing all kinds of, all manner of silly things, things that you know are not righteous. Some things they do are unforgivable. The number one thing that people do that's unforgivable is that they associate other things in worship with Allah. They practice idolatry. They practice false worship. They practice joining partners, trying to join partners with Allah, or saying that something, anything, a person, that something is equal with Allah or as important than Allah or more important than Allah. When Allah says in a verse in the Holy Quran that you should fear him, respect him, worship him, bow yourself to him, pray to him, ask forgiveness and seek forgiveness from Allah, seek his help, seek his virtue being in you, asking for help, you should do that more than you do anything else in the world, anything else in life. You should fear Allah, respect Allah, regard Allah more than anything or anyone else in life, even your parents. You don't love Allah if you say you love your parents more than you love the Creator who created you and your forefathers. There's a verse in the Quran that talks about that. So we as Muslims, we have to be very, very careful about what we're going to do with ourselves. And when you do something good, realize that's from Allah. Thank you, Allah, for showing me something I had lost. Thank you, Allah, for strengthening me in my faith. Thank you, Allah, for forgiving me and making me be more conscious of my character, the importance of and the value of having good character, and saying right things to people and speaking well to people and living the Islamic way of life. You can't live the world's way of life. You can't live this society's way of life and think you're on the right path. Allah says, this religion, al-Islam, that there is nothing that can compare with it. There's nothing before coming before or after it to be equal with al-Islam. That nothing compares with it. I believe I said that verse right. But there's another verse I was trying to think of. Wa in tukti akthara man fil ard yudiluka an sabilillah. If you were to follow the common behavior of this society, you would be going away from the way of Allah. And the other verse was talking about that no falsehood can approach this religion. La yatihi al-batilu min bayni yadayhi wa la min khalfi tanzilun min hamid tanzilun min al-hakimin hamid. That there is no falsehood can approach this religion from in front of it or from behind it. And that it was sent down, tanzilun min hakimin hamid, sent down by the one who is all wise, and he is the best. I believe I said it correctly, and may Allah forgive me for making any mistakes. Allah says that any good is from him, but any bad things is from yourself. You heard me in the khutbah al-Hajjah, where we seek refuge with Allah against the evils that we allow Satan to whisper to us. Whenever we hear an evil or think we heard an evil from Satan, I don't mean a loud noise out in that your physical ears can pick up. I'm talking about the quiet whispers or even loud whispers that your spirit picks up, or your soul picks up, or your thinking picks up. You have to be strong in identifying where you are at any time or place and what's going on with yourself, and try to be as normal and as natural in what Allah has given you. You know, your gifts of health, your gifts of having a good father and mother, your gifts of having good people in your life, someone that calls you to what's right and corrected you when you were doing something improper. You want to stay in the corrected life. You want to stay in the life that is really excellent, perfect, divine. The Holy Quran gives us the voice, the statements, the words, the language that Allah uses and wants for us to live. He wants us to use it so that we will stay in the most excellent behavior, the most excellent example, like Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Be aware of his value and his importance, because we're to copy the guidance he received and follow the model of his behavior so that we'll be valuable and important and excellent. So we need to be aware of what Allah wants us to do. We're the Muslim people. We have a religion that says submit to Allah, obey Allah, cooperate with Allah, what Allah wants for you. Allah is the Most High, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. He's the being that set everything, created everything and set it in its proper order. When you look out
up in the sky, right through that clear air that you can't see, that you need to breathe all the time. You see the sky. You see the sun. You see the clouds. You see the blueness. Actually, it's black, but because of a miracle that Allah has called light, turns the black space into a blueness for us in our atmosphere, on our planet. Yes. That's miraculous. And they call this, they even call this planet the blue planet, even though it's completely surrounded by darkness. But the sunlight hits the planet and the light bounces off. It hits the water. It bounces off. It cuts through the atmosphere. And because of that, you see a blueness in all of the black that surrounds us. There's many miracles and many mysteries surrounding the life that we live. And that's why we're told to get knowledge. The Muslims are told to study, study, study. Prophet Muhammad, the prayers of peace be upon him, said, seek knowledge or get knowledge. Learn, get knowledge from the cradle to the grave. And knowledge is what created him, woke him up. The first thing he was told in our religion about knowledge is Iqra, read. The angel Gabriel, peace be upon him, came to the prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. He wasn't even a prophet yet. And the angel Gabriel commanded him to read, recite, recite. And he says, I can't recite. I'm not a learned person. I can't recite. He said, I cannot read. And I cannot recite. Recite what? That was his mentality. The angel squeezed him. So the angel put pressure on him to recite, to report, to think, to function. And the angel is we're told the angel squeezed him. What is a squeeze? Pressure. So because of extreme pressure, is the angel physical? Gabriel says he came in the form of a man and squeezed him. But pressure can be psychological too. If someone put pressure on you, you're going to make some utterance usually, or you're going to pass out. But the angel Gabriel put pressure on him. The angel Gabriel squeezed him. He said he squeezed him three times. And when the angel squeezed him, the prophet began to say things. And what he began to say were the words that the angel Gabriel was sent by Allah for the prophet to recite. And he said, Iqra. Iqra means read. So the first words that the prophet said was Iqra. And the word Iqra, or read, means something of knowledge, something about information, something about identifying. So Iqra, bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq.
Khan Academy.
Khalaq al-insana min alaq.
You, sir.
So read, recite.
Get your thing out.
The prophet began to recite, and that's what we have are the words that eventually got written down. And those words are called the Quran, that which is to be recited. The Quran is telling us to recite. Allah put in the Quran the verse that tells us to recite, and we recite it. And that verse I just said to you, a part of that verse, the first five verses of the Holy Quran, Iqra, bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, khalaq al-insana min alaq, Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram, alladhi alama bil-qalam. Alam al-insana, ma'alam ya'lam. Read or recite in the name of your Lord. Man out of a, created man out of a mere clot of congealed blood. Read or recite. He who taught the use of the pen. Allah taught us intelligence. Allah taught us writing. Allah taught us studying. Allah taught us learning. Those are the things that are involved with pen and paper or parchment, writing things down, recognizing things. What are we writing? We're writing symbols. Isn't that beautiful that the Creator taught us an ability to use a shape and put it on a paper, to write it down on something? You know, the first people, I'm sure they were scribbling on the ground or just making marks. To make a mark that means something to the mind, that if other people accept it, they can use that mark to mean the same thing to them. and pass it on and on and on. Marks, sounds, they're both symbols that affect the mind. Brothers and sisters, we are the most learned people on the planet. Muslims are, as a group, the most learned people on the planet with good knowledge. And we don't take the learning, we don't take the divine learning and then use it for bad ways. Like Allah says in the Holy Quran, there were some people, when he taught them, they didn't use it to glorify Allah. They didn't use it to make life better. They say to us as a lie that we just want to make things better. But they don't make things better. They keep that divine knowledge, that perfect knowledge for themselves. They hoard it. They hoard it or hide it. They keep it for themselves. They pile it up and try to use it to make things better for themselves, and they use it against other people. The children of Israel are very, very, very guilty of that. Jesus, peace be upon him, called them the children of Satan. He called them the children of the devil because of their unwillingness to obey Allah, their unwillingness to obey Allah, and their unwillingness to cooperate with the prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, that was sent to them. They hated him. None of them have his name. You know how, because Muhammad is the final prophet, peace be upon him, all the Muslims all over the world use his name. Muslims all over the world use Muhammad's name. They want their child to be named Muhammad. Some Muslims have Muhammad as their first name and their middle name, and their family's last name is Muhammad. One, you go to somebody's family, and they got a Muhammad in that family, even though their last name is Muhammad, too. Their father and mother might say, let's give him middle name Muhammad, too, because that's how much we love Prophet Muhammad. But if you go to the children of Israel, people of Israel, you don't find people named Muhammad there unless they're staying there as a Palestinian. You don't find the children of Israel there in Israel or anywhere else in the world carrying the name Muhammad, because they don't love Muhammad. They hate Muhammad because Muhammad told them to stop lying, stop swindling the people, stop being unjust. And the main thing that Muhammad told them was submit to the will of Allah, obey Allah, stop doing wrong. Stand up and be righteous. Bow down and pray with those who bow down in worship of Allah. To ask forgiveness for your sins. Ask forgiveness for your sins. Allah said in the Holy Quran, he let them go on for so long. They went for so many years, thousands and thousands of years, disobeying every prophet, disrespecting prophets, disobeying prophets. And sometimes they would actually murder prophets, constantly lying on them. Look how they deceive us today about Jesus. We don't know that Jesus is not God. Many people don't know that Jesus is not God. Muslims know that. But there are many people in the world who don't know that Jesus is not God. So, unfortunately, hold on just a moment, brothers and sisters. Unfortunately, the world suffers because people think that Jesus is God. They think he was murdered or crucified. They think he was hung up. They think that he died, that he rose. Allah says in the Holy Quran that they did not kill him, nor did they crucify him. But it was made to appear to them. It was made to appear to the world that Jesus was killed and crucified. Yeah, crucified and killed. Allah says they did not kill him. They did not crucify Jesus. And I know many people will say, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? And they'll get very angry. But as Muslims, we're here to tell them that you really don't know, that you have been fooled, that you have been lied to about the Creator, that you've been lied to about Jesus, excuse me, and that in itself is a lie against the Creator, because Allah says in the Quran he was not murdered or killed. I have to listen to myself and make sure I'm giving you good information always. And that's my intention, and that's what I try my best to do. And that's why we're here. We're Muslims. We're the Muslim people, and we're carriers of this great learning. We are the most educated people on the planet in religious knowledge. We carry truth, real truth, the highest truth in the religious world, in the world, the spiritual world of people, in the cultural world of people, on earth, anyplace else. Allah said he sent down this truth to Muhammad so that it will, and he causes it to prevail over, be above all other truths. You know, the world was running on facts before Muhammad, but Muhammad brought the facts that are so powerful, so real, so true, that they are called the final message. Yeah, the completed message. That's the word I was looking for. The completed message. No message to come after it because it's completed. There's no more revelations to be written down, brought by a prophet, because Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the final prophet. He brought the completed message that has no flaws and is perfectly pure and it's eternal. It's ready for creation and anybody that comes along in any society after us forever. Don't you know the Muslims 400 years ago, 500 years ago, 700 years ago, 1,000 years ago, all of them are practicing the same religion that we have right now. The words that Muhammad spoke in his life, he was born 570 A.D. in Mecca. We're speaking the same words now. He died passed away, returned to Allah in 632 A.D. But during his life, the Quran came to him, was brought to him by the angel Gabriel, peace be upon him. And Muhammad recited it, taught it to his family and followers. It got written down. We have it in our hands now, and we've had it ever since it was revealed to him. And all the Muslims, there's over 2,000 million Muslims on the earth today. 2,000 million is the same as 2 billion. That's the number. We all over the earth are practicing. There's Muslims in China. There's Muslims in Czechoslovakia. There's Muslims in Hungary. There's Muslims in wherever, Germany, Nigeria. There's Muslims all over the world. I can't even name all the hundreds of countries and states and counties and villages that Muslims live in. Chechnya, Alabama, wherever. You name a place, there's Muslims there. We have the same knowledge that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When we open our mouths and recite anything from the Quran, those are the words that Prophet Muhammad, the prayers of peace be upon him, lived and recited, that he practiced, that he lived. These are the words and letters that are so powerful that we get rewards for any time we open our mouths and say any words from the Quran. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah will give you 10 rewards for each letter of the Quran that you recite. Yes. This is what we do. And we want the people to hear it because this is a language that belongs to the creation. It's the language that Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth, gave us to recite in our prayers and in our daily life, anywhere on the earth, anywhere on the creation. If we shoot up to the moon, go right up to the moon, and we recite our prayer, make our prayers, and we're reciting the words from the Holy Quran in our prayers. Our prayers won't even be correct if we don't recite the words that was revealed over 1,400 years ago to Muhammad the prophet. We always say peace be upon him because we live inside of a miracle, brothers and sisters. We live inside of a miracle, the greatest miracle in creation. I know that they told you it was Jesus. No, Jesus will be with Muhammad on the day of judgment. They'll be together like my two fingers right here, first fingers you see right. They'll be together. anything that Muhammad brought, anything that Jesus brought, anything that Moses brought, anything that Abraham brought, peace be upon him, David, Solomon, Job, Joseph, any of them, anything that they brought, Noah, Adam, the father of all mankind, the father of all human beings. Anything that they say is pure knowledge from Allah, but the greatest of that knowledge and the completion of that knowledge came to the last and the greatest prophet, Muhammad, prayer of the peace be upon him. His mission was so successful, he carried out his duty so thoroughly and so well that he's known as Khair Mursaleen, meaning he's the best of all of the messengers. Now, if you're waiting for me to jump and shout and you look and listen, you want to listen to hear people screaming and hollering and saying things that are totally unintelligible like you do some people who, like you hear some people say who claim that they're worshiping, you're going to be disappointed. We're not here to practice unintelligent things. We're here to tell you truth that will straighten you up, give you structure. As Muslims, our identity is so strong, this society can't fool us. Everybody you look at that's not a Muslim, not a believer, you'll see them and hear them and become aware of them doing things that a Muslim doesn't want to do, probably never will do. You hear him cursing, you hear him clowning, you hear him pulling on, see him pulling on each other, disrespecting each other, fighting in the street, lying. You see authorities, police officers, whoever, firemen, doing things that they shouldn't be doing. Police officers who beat you down and for almost nothing, give you a long time for fighting or beating a dog. Some people get almost no time for killing you for your color. Killing you because of your color, get almost no time, but go to jail for years for beating an animal. And Muslims don't beat animals, disrespect animals. Don't beat your wife like you beat an animal, and don't beat animals. Don't abuse anybody or anything. But look at the confusion and the nonsense in this society that we're expected to live. We don't agree with the unbelievers, and we won't live like them. It's a sin and it's a crime to follow unbelievers into anything, most everything that they recommend, because it's false, it's wrong, it's incorrect. It has nothing to do with correct guidance. We're the Muslims. We submit to the will of Allah. That's our identity. Our religion is the religion and the system that teaches you to submit to the Creator. To be intelligent, to be calm, to be sensible, to be learned, to study. The Prophet, peace be upon him, as I mentioned, he said, get knowledge or seek knowledge from the cradle, from the time you're a little baby. Your mom and daddy got an obligation to educate you. That's one of the statements of our religion, that every Muslim parent has an obligation, every father has an obligation to make sure that his children get Islamic knowledge. I hear the music, and it won't be long before the cursing. You'll hear the cursing in the music. People's minds are poisoned with almost everything that the people in this society, this particular society especially, almost everything that they create for you. The media lies to you. The religious media lies to you. They try to tell you that Jesus, the man, is God. Jesus can run the whole creation? Oh, no. Allah said in the Holy Quran, he had to eat food, him and his mother had to eat food and walk through the streets like everybody else. If you eat food, you know what your body's going to do with the food, right? Eventually, the food and the drink is going to come out of your body. You trying to tell me some false things and some foul things about Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him? This society does not think, it does not have adequate thought for you as a Muslim in order for you to live on an elevated level. And Allah tells us to live on an elevated level. Allah tells us, kuntum khayra ummatin lilnas ta'maruna bil ma'ruf wa tanhauna 'anil munkar wa tu'minuna billah walau amana ahlul kitabi la kana khayra lahum minhumul mu'minun wa aktharuhumul fasiqun. I said all of that for a reason. I know it was kind of long, but Allah tells us that you Muslims are the ones who are to live on a higher level. Allah tells us that, and this is our identity, brothers and sisters. Allah tells you that you are the best people evolved for the benefit of mankind, for the benefit of everybody else. You are the best people. You are the best community. Ummatin kuntum khayra ummatin. You are the best community. That means huge group of people or a group of people. You are the best community evolved or brought out or brought forth, stood up for the best, for the benefit of everybody else. Inviting to what is right and forbidding what is wrong and believing in Allah. This is the rest of that verse. This is why I said the whole thing. It says, some of the people of the book are some who believe. It says, but most of them are perverted transgressors. So Muslims are not allowed. It's a sin to live under that because most people around us are perverted transgressors, even the ones who claim that they're religious, claim they're Jews. They may claim they're Christians. They do not have the heights that we're supposed to be living on as Muslims. As Muslims, we must live on a height that is communicated to us by the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and even more than that, by the Holy Quran itself, even though none of us will ever model or be a model of what the Holy Quran speaks of and represents as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is the best model for all mankind forever. That his character is the highest character. That his character is the best character. Uswatun hasanatun. Uswatun, character, high character, hasanatun, the best. Encourage you Muslims, and don't worry about people saying things that show their prejudice. Don't worry about them saying things that try to force you into inferiority. Talk about your long clothes, or talk about the fact that you say assalamu alaikum, or laugh at you when you call in the holy, call in the azan. Or reciting the Holy Quran. Oh, what's all that? What you saying? They're ignorant. They are, Allah says they are grossly ignorant, steeped in ignorance. Steeped in ignorance, and they'll be punished for their ignorance because Allah didn't make their minds to be ignorant. Allah made their minds to consume knowledge and respect knowledge and to use knowledge because knowledge is useful for their betterment. Knowledge is useful for them going, or any of us going in the right direction. That's what knowledge is. If I tell you that fire is hot and you say, I don't have to listen to you, and you stick your hand in there, the fire itself has built into it a lesson for you to make sure that you don't be a fool. Piece of knowledge that you get from the creation has something in it from you. Allah said something in it for you. Allah says of the creation that his signs are everywhere. Allah says his signs are everywhere, even inside your own self, in your own thinking, in your own feelings, in your own flesh. Allah says his signs are everywhere, brothers and sisters. So we're not going to disobey Allah and follow what these silly people in the society be putting down. We're not going to follow them and prefer their foolishness and their nonsense and their madness over divine revelation. We prefer divine revelation. We prefer success. We prefer health, decency, honor, integrity, all the things that prove that we are fine people, honorable people, clean people. Allah says to follow his names, any of his names that we can live as or live like or copy. We are to do it. So if Allah is the one who is merciful, and he says that's his greatest name is Rahim, Ar-Rahim, Al or Ar-Rahim. His greatest attribute or name or identity is mercy. How many people you see showing mercy today? They're steadily trying to rip you off, steadily lying on you, trying to set you up, taking from you. You got people that'll marry you just to take from you. You got people that'll watch you for a long time just to take from you, to use you, abuse you. tell someone something about you that is absolutely not true. I was talking to my son about that earlier, how they lied on Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in so many ways. These weren't some weird, freaky, strange strangers like you find a lot in a society. Almost everybody here will abuse you and don't even know you. His own relatives were some of the worst people. In fact, they were the worst. Some of them were so bad that their name came up and got mentioned in the Holy Quran that they're going to be in hellfire forever, be in hellfire. Allah's cursed them and sending them to hell. These were some of his relatives. We're not going to follow this society, so we better be happy to have an identity that marks us off as a really great people, a learned people, as a group of clean people, wash and keep our bodies clean, who think right, who study, who pray to the Creator for forgiveness, who follow all of the things that we can, that we can copy of Prophet Muhammad's life, Uswatun Hasanatun, righteous man. We want to live like that. We want to be that way. We want to follow the ways of Muhammad and be safe. Brothers and sisters, we're going to go into the second part of the talk, and then we're going to dismiss the Jumu'ah prayer. We thank Allah for giving us this guidance. So don't hang up. Peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum. Don't hang up. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah. That means praise be to Allah. And we are going to go into the second part of the Jumu'ah prayer. The Jumu'ah is a two-part prayer, and it has a two-part talk. And the two-part talk is a major thing, and the two-part prayer is at the end of the talk. But Allah wants us to have knowledge and to seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave. Allah wants us to be able to, our character be so strong and our reputation and our behavior be so good among other people. Yes, Allah wants us to do that. That doesn't mean you're perfect. That doesn't mean you don't have any sin. But Allah has always given us protection. He says that even if your sins were as big as the earth, He has forgiveness bigger than that. Because Allah wants to preserve you. He wants to preserve you and keep you in good order. Alhamdulillah. Wa salatu wa salamu ala khair mursaleen Muhammad ibn Abdullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. And that means praise be to Allah and peace be upon his servant Muhammad. Prayers and peace be upon him and his family and his companions, and that Muhammad is the best of even all the messenger human beings. He's the best out of all of the messengers. We want to keep this in mind, and we want to stay focused on our Jumu'ah, and we want to let people know that all the time, we love being involved in Islamic way of life. Now, I was saying earlier, don't let the world discourage you. Don't let the world discourage you. And I also wanted to say, you see how distracting the music is, that the so-called music out there? It won't be long before you hear him say something so foul, so vulgar. Now homosexuals are making songs and movies. You can't sit down and hear a nice love song with respect of a man for a woman or a woman for a man. Now they've gotten so filthy that, I was telling my son about how we're living like in the times of, you hear the Christians say, Sodom and Gomorrah, the time of Prophet Lot. Yes, and we can go further and tell you what the Quran says about that too. It says they had become so corrupt that they were practicing corruption even in their councils. They were practicing evils even in their councils, even in their most important meetings like court, political system. The courts, the legal system, the political system. And you see how now they're so sick from perversion and permissiveness. Just let everything go. Just let it all hang out. They're so sick from that even the president and the vice presidential candidates and the senators and representatives and the mayors and governors, and they're running to be known as the first homosexual. And they're signing laws to try to make it illegal for you to say bad things about or say things against homosexuality. They want to make it illegal for you to say things that God told you to say against homosexuality. They want to try to bring you to court. They want to try to sue you for being against homosexuals and their behavior. Well, the question is, why? And we know why. We know why. Because they're just that corrupt and they're just that sinful, and we know that they are followers of Satan, followers of the devil, children of the devil. Well, but people might want to say, why are they trying to take all the good things? How come we can't sue them for trying to mess up nature? Why aren't we suing them for lying about a man being called a man, and instead of and coming, they come up with a lie that a woman can be a man, or that a man can be a woman, or that two men can be together and one of them can call the other one his wife, or the other one, the two women be together and one of them call the woman, the other woman, her husband. And a woman and a woman get into intimate association with each other, sexual association with each other. A man and a man get into sexual association with each other, and they're trying to force the population to cheer for that. They're trying to force the population to accept that. Well, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, you'll be committing a big sin. You would be committing a crime against the Creator if you try to take something, anything that He has created naturally, and turn it into something foul and sinful. Brothers and sisters, make sure and study your verses in the Holy Quran so you know what Allah says. Allah says about homosexuality, if you have the power in that land and people are caught in unseemly and indecent acts, excuse me, that they should be locked up in their houses until they die. Their whole life they can be locked up. That is exactly what is going on right now. If they catch homosexuals, they catch drug dealers, if they catch murderers and all these different people, child molesters and all that, if they catch these people doing evil things, they're in big trouble. Alcohol, drugs, they're in big trouble, because these people will, in their drunkenness, in their merriment, in their merry drunkenness, in their fun, their so-called fun living, in their permissive life, so-called lifestyle, in that, following the devil, they will mess up normal life. They will nasty up creation. They will do unhygienic things to mess up society. Muslims are not allowed to follow that. Go with the identity that the Creator Allah has given us. Kuntum khayra ummatan ukhrijat lil nas ta'muruna bil ma'ruf wa tanhauna 'anil munkari billah. That you are the best people evolved for the benefit of mankind, inviting to what is right, forbidding what is wrong, and believing in Allah. That's what we do. So, brothers and sisters, we're going to close. We hope we covered some identity about some things that are very important to us, very valuable to our lives and our existence as servants of Allah. We're going to close, and I know a lot of people say, oh, I thought you were going to talk about identity cards, or thought you were going to talk about passports or something. We're talking about the passport to heaven, the passport to a good life, the passport to keep you acting like you have sense, intelligence, and to keep leadership alive. We're involved as Muslims in keeping leadership alive, healthy, sound, honorable leadership for all the time that our lives in the earth, during this era, that it's our responsibility to obey Allah by following the Holy Quran, by continuing to do what's right as Muslims, by keeping up our prayer, by paying our charity. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, charity destroys sin like water extinguishes fire. That charity extinguishes sin, or puts out sin, puts down sin, destroys sin like water puts out fire, destroys fire. Let us keep studying our Holy Quran and fasting. We fast during the month of Ramadan, 30 days every year. We do that, and let us keep remembering that during the month of Ramadan, we want to give largely in charity. We're going to ask Allah to forgive us and have mercy upon us for any sins that we have committed for the whole year. And by fasting the month of Ramadan and reading the whole Holy Quran from cover to cover, Allah says he will forgive all of our sins, all of our previous sins for that whole year. And also I want to say the fifth pillar, which I didn't put numbers on today, but the other pillar is to visit the house of Allah in Mecca, the symbolic house on earth in Mecca. We know Allah is in paradise. We know that no building can hold whole paradise. We know the angels are not flying in and out of the holy Kaaba, the Kaaba, the house of Allah on earth. There's too many angels. And the Allah has told us to recognize that house. And whenever we make prayer, we face the direction of that house, called the Qibla. Qibla means direction. We turn and we face the Kaaba, and every Muslim on the planet, we're the most prayerful people on the earth. In unity, in prayer, every Muslim on the earth faces the Kaaba to make prayer. And when it's prayer time, we face the Kaaba, and we all over the earth, perform our prayers. And we start our prayers out with not only good intentions, not only calling the adhan and the qama, but we start our prayers out with faith in Allah, belief in Allah, belief in Allah. And we say, Allahu Akbar. That means Allah is greater and more important than anything. So we're going to close, brothers and sisters. We always have more to say, to sing our Islamic way of life and our Islamic thinking and our Islamic identity. We always have more to say, but stay strong as believers. And always understand that Allah sees you, Allah is with you, Allah is always sending you help. And he says he'll send you angels that will be so much around you. It'll be like, he said, if you be good enough and faithful enough, it'll be like angels are walking in the street. He said you'll see angels in the street like you see people. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah Most High has said you'll see angels in the street like you see people. So what does that mean? That means that all kind of miraculous things will happen for you and to you. And the things will be put in position for you in a proper place at a proper time, and you'll see so many miracles all the time happening for you every day. And it'll go on and on and on for the rest of your life. And we ask Allah to have mercy upon us and admit us into paradise. And we ask Allah to have mercy upon those who are ill. And we ask Allah and return them to their families. And we ask Allah to forgive us our sins and to admit us to paradise. Have mercy upon us. Bless us. Have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins and admit us into paradise. And we know that a Muslim has passed. I don't know his name. His sister called me earlier and said he has returned. So I sent the information to two extremely reliable Muslims who are able to help us take care of matters when one of our people pass away. So we ask Allah's mercy upon the brother. And we always say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. From Allah we come, to Allah we belong, and to Allah is our return. From Allah we come and belong, and to Allah is our return. So, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. To Allah we belong, and to Allah is our return. We're going to close, brothers and sisters. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama sallaita ala Ibrahim ala Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. Allahumma barak ala Muhammad. Allahumma barak ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama barakta ala Ibrahim ala Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. And that means, O Allah, exalt Muhammad and the family of Muhammad as you did exalt Abraham and his family. And, O Allah, bless Muhammad and the family of Muhammad as you did bless Ibrahim and his family, Abraham and his family. For surely you are praised and magnified.
Inna Allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna 'alan nabi. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu 'alayhi wa sallimu taslima. That means, verily Allah and his angels do salute Muhammad. And, O you who believe, do you likewise. And give him a great salute. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban nar. O Allah, give us good in this world and good in the hereafter. Save us from the chastisement of the hellfire. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyyatina qurrata a'yunin waj'alna lil muttaqina imama. And that just means, Allah, forgive us our sins and anything we may have done that transgressed our duty. Blot out our sins and have mercy upon us and plant our feet firmly and give us victory against those who stand against faith. Rabbana ablana min azwajina wa dhurriyyatina qurrata a'yunin waj'alna lil muttaqina imama. And that means, our Lord, give us wives and offspring that will be a comfort to our eyes and grant us the grace to lead the righteous. We are always asking Allah to have mercy upon us and forgive us our sins, brothers and sisters. And we hope that Allah will have mercy upon all of the believers the world over and let us be faithful and those who are conscious of our deeds. And let us be those who turn away from all that is evil and ask Allah to help us have strength in that matter. So we're going to close now, and we thank everybody for joining us. This is the Juma in Los Angeles, California. I apologize for sounding a little distracted here. I'm trying to juggle three or four things at the same time. But we're asking Allah to have mercy upon us and forgive us our sins and admit us all into paradise and make us conscious of our behavior as Muslims. And these are some trying times. So guard your health. Guard your reputation. Absolutely guard your knowledge by studying the Holy Quran and keeping up your prayers. And be those who practice unity and working together. And let us do more of that, much, much more of that. And keep up your studies, brothers and sisters. We'll speak to you soon, inshallah. Again, we appreciate the Blog Talk Radio for helping us and giving us the support that they've given us for years and years, Brother Amin Yasir Muhammad and his staff. Brothers and sisters, at all the masjids, all of the centers, we wish you well, and we ask them a lot to strengthen all of us, the Muslims the world over, and let us realize how distinct we are, how distinctly different we are from the other communities and people around us, and that we are not to follow them. Allah commands us, do not follow them. Do not listen to what they talk about when it comes to your personal affairs, your personal behavior, your color. Don't listen to them about the music or any of those things, about what they call fun. Be careful, brothers and sisters. May Allah bless each and every one of you. Peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum.